Okay, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 25, text 15, for those who have a gadget. So, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Apartu ati ubanam varsham ati vatang shila mayam sva yagi vihate asmabir Indra, the Shaya, Varshati. Okay, I'll try to say it slowly so everyone can follow. Apart Vatyulbanam Varsham. Okay, just another hint here. Apart Vat. See, they. When you got the V or the Y at the end, it says, it's the apart vat yul banam varsham. Everyone understand that? It's not a part vula. It's part. And it's not ati, it's at yul banam. Anyway, apart vat yul banam varsham. Ativatam shilamayam Swayagye vihate smabhir Indro nashaya varshati apart vat Yalvanam Varsham Ativatam Shilamayam Swayagye Vigate Smabir Indro Nashaya Varshati Apart vat yobanang varsham Ativatam shilomayam Swayagye vihate smabir Indro nashaya varshati Apartvatyubanam varsham Adivatam shilamayam Swayagye vihate smabhir Indro nashaya varshati Ladies. Unless what the men want to do. Apart vat yobanam varsham ativatam shilamayam swayagye vihate smabhir indro nashaya varshati. Okay, we'll go ahead. Aparitu. Out of season. Ati ubanam. Unusually fierce. Varsham. Rain. Ati vatam. Accompanied by great wind. Shilamayam. Full of hailstones. Swayage. His sacrifice. Vihate. Having been stopped. Asmabihi. By ourselves. Indraha. King Indra. Nashaya. For destruction. Varshati. Is raining. It's a translation. Sri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseasonable rain together with terrible winds and hail. All right, so before we read the next two verses, I just want to comment. In India, the seasons are very distinct. It's not like everywhere, practically everywhere else in the world. We actually have six seasons in India. It's interesting. And so you have this monsoon season, which usually starts happening, depending on where you are in India, but usually starts happening in June. And the monsoon rains, whose car? So the whose car is that? One of our cars? No. Anyway, the monsoon rains are really devastating. I've been in India during the monsoon in Vrindavan, actually in Govardhan. And when I was in India during monsoon in Govardhan, then what happened is that it started raining right in the middle of the parikrama. It doesn't rain all day long, but all of a sudden, it's very disturbing. Whose car is that? I can hear that. I put my earplugs in. I'm sensitive to sound, so it's like someone might. The rest of you have heard so many loud kirtans, your hearing doesn't work so much anymore. So it's all right. You can tolerate anything. Okay. It's a little bit better. Much better. So because I was on parikrama in the middle of the day, I didn't know it was going to rain that day. And it started raining. And the monsoon was so fierce that the water for the whole parikrama path was actually up to my chest, basically. And I had to swim back to my house. And I had to swim, I think it was about, must have been about 3 kilometers I had to swim back. Pretty big swimming. Of course, I could walk, but water was like that. And unfortunately, they don't have a very developed sewer system there. So it's all septic tanks, so there were some interesting things in the water, like snakes and sewerage and things like that, which protected me. Anyway, that's the monsoon rain. So go on to the next text. Tatra prativinim samyag atma yogena sadaye lokesha maninam odyad Dhanishe Shri Madam Tamaha. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves to be the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. Text 17. Nahi sadbhava yuktanam suranam isha vishmayaha mato satam manha bhanga prashamayo pakalpate. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. So purport by his divine, by the servants of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The demigods are supposed to be Sadbhava Yukta, endowed with spiritual existence, since they are deputed servants of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 24, it is stated, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadina. Thank God. So, you all must be like completely transcendental, not be disturbed by that sound. Doesn't disturb you, does it? You are really on the transcendental platform. That which is duly offered to the Lord becomes spiritualized. The demigods engage in the devotional service of the Lord by managing various departments of cosmic administration. Therefore, as demigods or as servants of the Lord, their existence is pure. Sadbhava. When the demigods fail to live up to the high position given them by the Lord and deviate from proper behavior, they are not acting as demigods, but rather as conditioned souls. Mana, or false prestige, is certainly an anxiety-ridden burden for the conditioned soul. A falsely proud person is not truly peaceful or satisfied because his understanding of himself is false and inflated. When a servant of the Lord becomes asat, or irreligious, the Lord saves him from impiety by breaking the false prestige that has led him to be offensive or sinful. As stated by the Lord himself, Yashaham anugrinami harishe todaram shanahai. I give my blessings to a person by taking away his so-called opulence. Of course, the advanced stage of devotional service to the Lord, as described by Rupa Goswami, is Yukta Vairagya, utilizing the opulence of this world to execute the Lord's mission. Obviously, the things of this world can be used wonderfully to spread the glories of God and to create a godly society, and a more advanced devotee will not be seduced by material paraphernalia that will dutifully but will dutifully and honestly engage it solely for the pleasure of the Lord. In this particular case, Lord Indra forgot that he was a humble servant of God, and Lord Krishna therefore arranged to bring this bewildered demigod to his senses. So, Om Gana Chimadanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chatsur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, this particular verse that Prabhupada is quoting here from the Bhagavatam, Yashaham Anagrinamay, Hurishe Todram Chanai, is actually a verse that Prabhupada very often quoted in regard to his own life. And what do I mean by that? No, Prabhupada was not puffed up like Indra, obviously. He was always a pure devotee. He's a Shaktivesh avatar. Just go back a little bit. Demigods are generally Sakama devotees. That means they have some desire. In other words, if you really want to manage, let's say you really like to manage things and control things, but you're a devotee, then your next life, you could become Lord Brahma. And some Lord Brahmas are very good at management. They have hundreds of heads. You understand? They're the COO of the universe. And of course, there's also a treasurer of the universe. That's Kuvera. So the universe has everything, just like we have in the temple. So according to one's desire, if one has a material desire, one gets a particular service in relationship to Krishna. So the demigods, generally, there are exceptions, like Yamaraj. And of course, right now, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. So, but generally, the demigods, they are sa-kama devotees. They have some desire to fulfill. Krishna says, okay, you want to fulfill that desire? Okay, become the head of the administrative demigods like Lord Indra and see how much fun you have. Isn't it? So that's sa-kama. And generally, the devotees on this planet are sa-kama devotees. I mean, people come before the deities and they ask the deities for blessings. We've talked about this before. Or there's this whole thing called Satyanarayan Katha, which I'm sure you've all heard of, where you go before the deities and you tell stories about how someone worshipped Krishna or worshipped Narayan, and then they become very rich and they had a swimming pool in their house and everything like that. Just like when we arrange for this temple, all the pictures on the wall of the temple, one devotee who was a manager, I can't see the picture here, but arranged for the picture of Sudama Brahma. Where's the picture? Oh, right over there. Yeah, I see. I arranged for all the other pictures. Anyway, he wanted the Sudama Brahma picture. He's one of... Anyway, he's no longer with us, but anyway, so he wanted the Sudama Brahman. Because Sudama Brahman's story is the favorite of every devotee. Why? Could you just give Krishna some rice, a little chip rice, and then you come back and you find your house, there's servants there, a swimming pool, a nice car, because I added a few things to the story. and your wife is dressed in a nice sari. Wow, what a nice sari. Just like, if you want to make your temple very successful, then start a rumor that anybody who's worshipped Goloka Vihari has become extremely rich. I'll tell you how to do it. This temple could be the most popular temple here in Fiji. You get devotees who have a lot of money, drive around in big cars, and you, instead of the Krishna Sun, instead of putting philosophical articles, which nobody reads anyway, you put a picture of someone, in a big mansion, big house, the CEO of whatever, and he worships Krishna, and then you show a before picture before he came to Krishna Consciousness, he's dressed in rags, and he's begging on the street, selling peanuts on the street. you have these peanut sellers in Fiji, and actually they have big houses, isn't it? You think you feel so sorry, oh, there's poor guys on the street, but he's a millionaire. He's a crorepati. And the interesting thing about selling peanuts on the street, you don't have to pay taxes, right? It's all black money. So anyway, getting back to the point. So people would just like flock to the temple. You just start some stories like that. I gave a $5 donation in the Hyundai, and then I came home and I was rich. And most people are like that, isn't it? Wow, we got to worship Goloka Vihari. And just like they, in Vrindavan, they start rumors about different temples too. Like, there's one famous temple in Vrindavan called the Bunki Vihari Temple. Probably the most popular temple in Vrindavan. So they started a rumor that one night Krishna and Radharani left the altar and then they came back. And that's why we can only have lightning darshans. Because if we open the curtains too much or too for too long, the deities will run away again. So people are really gullible. You know what gullible means? No, I'll explain. That's a big word for all of you. It means they believe things. I mean, it's just like, huh? You say enough things, you say something enough times, and people say, wow, it's true. Let me go to that Goloka Vihari temple and I'll become wealthy. So this is what we should do in the next Krishna Sun. Not how some nurse joined the movement, you know. Anyway. What's so interesting about that? Isn't it? Or even my story, how I, before I joined the movement, I had all this wealth in my family and then I gave it up and now I just have some cotton robes. Nobody will join the movement. Right? So you got to do the reverse story. Not how some, you can't tell the story about the Goswamis, how they became Krishna conscious and they gave up everything and they walked Kopina Kantashrito, they walked around in Kopinas, and Raghunath Das Goswami was just eating one grain of, or one little buttermilk every 2 or 3 days. People get scared of our movement. You know, you preach too much renunciation about it, people get scared. So in order to attract people, it has to be, you know, basically, you'll be fortunate and be blessed. And your children will become doctors. And not even nurses. Who cares about nurses? But anyway, doctors or... Isn't that? So you have to understand, that's the mentality of people. And so they worship Krishna. So the demigods are like that. They're worshiping Krishna, and because they like doing what they like controlling, Ishwara Bhava. So here Prabhupada talks about the mode of goodness. They're supposed to be sadbhava. But they have to have some, it's not transcendental goodness. There's material goodness, and there's vishuddha sattva, which is pure goodness, which has no tinge of any other mode of nature. So that's a pure devotee. And Prabhupada was like that. And if you have any tinge of any desire when you're performing devotional service, then that tinge can grow just like a seed, can fructify, and then it can deviate you from Krishna consciousness. Just even a little bit, little tinge if you're not alert, like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj had a tinge. I mean, he was great devotee. I mean, I would say greater than most of the demigods. And he had a little tinge of desire and he wasn't attentive. Like Prabhupada said one time that Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge. What does it mean, razor's edge? Well, in the old days, when someone shaved, they used this straight razor. Anyone seen that before? A straight razor was just like a blade. And so they would sharpen it on a piece of leather, I think. Yeah, back and forth. And you go to the barber. You know, when I was young, I did go to the barber. I had hair. So I go to the barber, and they have this thing. And it was so sharp that if he slipped, your ear would be gone. Seriously, it is actually so sharp. Nowadays, of course, they have these safety razors. So, you know, if you slip, you may cut yourself, but, you know, you're not going to cut your ear off. So Prabhupada used this expression, razor's edge. Because if you're not attentive, then you can find yourself like in the stool dish. Or, as Prabhupada said, Purna Mushika Bhava. Again, become a rascal or mouse. No, I'm not going to tell that story. So, with the demigods, especially when you have opulence, as we mentioned several times before, when one has service for Krishna, one is given opulence and also the ingredients to do service. And so, those particular implements or the prestige you get can lead to more anarthas. Remember I talked about four sources of anarthas? I think some of you remember. Four sources of anarthas, unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. One source is sinful activities, another source is pious activities, you know, thinking yourself the doer. Another source is offenses. And the final source is what happens when you're doing bhakti. Because if you're actually doing bhakti with the right intention, this verse from 424 in the Gita is actually very important. Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanahutam Brahmatena Gantavyam Brahmakarma Samadhinam, which basically means that if one makes an offering to Krishna, does something for Krishna, it is like doing a fire sacrifice. The word used here is havir, which basically means ghee in Sanskrit. You understand? Ghee, clarified butter. You all know what ghee is? Of course, you all cook with soybean oil, so you probably don't know what ghee is. When I joined the movement, everything was cooked in ghee. And people were attracted. You're cooking soybean oil. Yeah. Even Krishna will run away, you know. Anyway, so even in the heavenly planets, they only cook in ghee. There's nothing else there except for ghee and, of course, vegetables and everything. So, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir. So when one does something for Krishna, it is like, let's say, instead of ghee, let's use this stand here, the book stand. If this book stand is offered to Krishna, I'm putting Krishna conscious books on it, then this book stand becomes purified. It's like ghee that goes in the fire. Prabhupada said that the sacrificial fire, when you smell the smoke from it, is purifying. If you smell the smoke from anything else, it's not purifying. So this table becomes purified. Wow. At the same time, if I use it for something else, if I put some comic books or something on top of it, I don't know what else you read here, then it becomes full with the modes of nature again. This is what this verse says. You know, you offer something to Krishna, it becomes Brahman, Vishuddhasattva, you know, microphone. Like Prabhupada would sometimes say, when people criticize him for using a microphone or coming in an airplane or using in a car, you know, that's Yukta Vairagya. Prabhupada said, what do you want me to do, walk here? Swim across the ocean? You know, what a stupid question they would ask Prabhupada. If you're so spiritual, why are you using a microphone if you're spiritual? Isn't that? Somehow or there's something about microphones that are not spiritual. I mean, I don't know. But people think like that. Or why are you using a mobile phone? I mean, I remember, even in our movement, I was the first one to get a mobile phone. I was telling you the story the other day. In the middle of the GBC meeting, it was a big one, it rang. And everyone said, "You're in Maya, Maharaj." And then, you know, fast forward 2 years later, everybody has a mobile phone. So we're all in Maya. But I was using it for Krishna. You know, I taught other devotees how to use computers because I was the first adopter of computers. So, but if you use something for Krishna, it's spiritualized. However, there's a danger because you begin to think it's mine after a while. You know, you don't remember Ishubasha Midam Saram Yatkin Cha Chakacham Jagat Tena Chak Tena Bunjidha Magridha Kashasvidanam. You don't understand or remember that everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of God and meant for His pleasure. You forget that. This is my computer, my table, my microphone, whatever, or my body. You know, or just someone gets married. I'm yours and you're mine. What nonsense. What, did I strike a chord with someone? Anyway. You're my Sita. And I'm your Ram. What a disgusting Ram that is. A Ram that smells bad and has a material body and the Sita that has to decorate herself so she doesn't look like Serpanaka. You know, so it's like that. So You know, because you tend to develop, even if you're a devotee, you tend to have that sense after a while, you get something, you think it's mine. It's really amazing. And then, of course, and that leads to, once you think it's mine, it becomes material. What was previously spiritual, the point, oh point, like I was making about the table, previously spiritual, then it becomes mundane. Your dodhi, your sari can be very mundane. You know, just like you're going to, what is it, before the marriage you have the priti boat, and you're thinking, this is spiritual, showing off my sari to everybody. It's completely mundane. There's nothing spiritual or ritual or anything about it. It's a bunch of, anyway, sorry. It's just the mode of passion. If you're showing off you and not showing off Krishna, that's the mode of passion, which is mundane. You may say, oh, it's our ritual we do. Or it's a mundane ritual. It's Maya. I know we let the devotees do it because they're attached. But, you know, Krishna says in the Gita, don't disturb the minds of those who are attached. So hopefully I'm not disturbing your minds. But encourage them to work in the spirit of devotion. So that's the real point. So I don't heavy people out. I'm just making a philosophical point about Yukta Vairagya. So anyway, so this is what happened with Indra. He had a bona fide service. It's a spiritual service, ministering the universe, and the souls can get rectified, go back to home, back to Godhead. But he started to think that it was his. It's my universe. I have a right to enjoy a holya, you know, like he did, go to Maharishi's wife. I have a right to do anything I want. Now these puny little creatures on the earth planet, they're worshiping this puny little boy, his name is Krishna. Then they don't know who I am. Anyway, so we'll see later on in this chapter he actually finds out who he is. So, anyway, getting back to Prabhupada and that verse, Yashaha Manadrindami, Harishye Tadunamshanai, that Prabhupada saw so many aspects of his life fall apart. He got the instruction from his spiritual master in 1922 to preach in English. And he never deviated from that instruction. It's not, there was no material attachment on Prabhupada's behalf. He was always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness in English. So he was thinking, his first strategy, because sometimes we pick strategies that don't work, even though they're bona fide. So his first strategy was to make a lot of money, you know, so you can publish books and then go across the ocean in style. Prabhupada's godbrothers, they had gone across the ocean in style because they had money that was being sent from India. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his disciples to Germany and UK. And he sent the money. You know, they didn't have to undergo too many austerities. They just like said, you know, when's the check coming? It's like when I went to the university, I didn't have to worry about making money. I just said, call my father on the phone. I said, well, send the check, Dad. I need another $1,000. Okay, son. Nice father. Anyway, and that's why I didn't take the university so seriously. Because I didn't have to pay for a damn thing on it. I didn't have to take a loan out. Pretty good, isn't it? I didn't have to pay a bond. Because whatever I wanted, I said, Dad, send me a sports car. Okay, here's a sports car. Thank you, Daddy. It's nice to have a father like that, isn't it? So anyway, so I didn't understand the value because it came very easily. So Prabhupada's godbrothers, basically they went there and maybe they made one or two devotees. So one lady in the UK, her name was Vinod Vani, and another gentleman in Germany. He became a devotee. And he actually came back and took initiation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then he went back to Germany, and he actually made some disciples of his own. It's a very, very interesting story, if you're ever interested in hearing the whole story. So, but still, when they came back to India, only two devotees had been made. One, and the lady in the UK, she was an old lady. When they came back to India, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't pleased with them. For some reason. I mean, I can't guess. But even he refused to allow a king to give them money to build a temple in London. There was a king in India who was ready to give money so that a temple could be built in London. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't even, one of the disciples, he didn't even talk to him again. Somehow or other, there was some displeasure there on his part. And I don't know what it was. But Prabhupada, he was thinking, let me make some money, let me go to the West with money and books, and I'll make my pharmaceutical business very successful. So, and then he was thinking, let me show an example of first-class grihastha life for the Western people. These were his two strategies. Both of the strategies fell apart. First of all, his business, I mean, he had competitors, he had envious people, which is normal. And his business just like went finished, bankrupt, finished. And his wife was even worse than his business. You know, you all know the story that she sold his Bhagavatams for tea biscuits. And when he invited someone over to preach to show his ideal grihastha life, his wife would take a feather duster and blow dust in the people's faces. Imagine you invite someone over to your home and your wife goes. What a nice wife, you know. Anyway. And actually, at one point, Prabhupada said to his father, Dad, you know, I think I need a second wife. And of course, that was a lie. It's not bad. You know, in India, it was quite common. So don't think there's nothing wrong with it. Because he's thinking, you know, I need a wife who's going to cooperate with me in my mission to serve my spiritual master. And his father said, no, your first wife is really nice. His father said, really nice? See, what kind of really nice is that? Anyway, so really nice because this way you'll actually understand. You actually renounce this world. So this is Yasyam Anugrinami Harishe Tadanam Shanai. So, you know, his wife, his this, and, you know, things were taken away. Like Prabhupada went to Jhansi to start a preaching center, and he had this whole property there, nice property. And then the governor's wife wanted to turn it into a lady bhavan. Governor Munshi's wife. And she did politics, and she took Prabhupada's temple away from him. You know, Prabhupada had a temple there. And then Prabhupada, he was responsible. He didn't want to really take sannyas, because he felt responsible to his family, even though his wife was just a problem. She was a devotee, but a problem. Prabhupada felt responsible. But he kept having this dream, his spiritual master was saying, come with me, take sannyas. And Prabhupada said, he was horrified when he had that dream. Oh my God, how am I going to take care of my responsibilities? And finally, one of his godbrothers just like said, you got to take sannyas. Do it. And Prabhupada took it that his spiritual master was speaking through him. And then so many trials and tribulations. You know, Prabhupada also got gored by a bull in Delhi while he was preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada, you know, everybody knows Prabhupada had heart attacks on the way over. Prabhupada, they wouldn't give Prabhupada permission to leave India. You know, just like you have a fee you need permission to in the tax department or whatever, if you have a bond. And Prabhupada, like, went to the chief and had to push and push and push, and his determination and even when he came to America, you know, just like so many things. So Krishna kept taking things away. Prabhupada one time said that Krishna took away his actual, you know, physical sons, and Krishna gave him so many nice sons and daughters who was willing to do anything. So you see, Krishna does that. Like Prabhupada's father would often say, Krishna has 10 hands. With 10 hands, Krishna can take away. You can't, you know, he's the ultimate pickpocket. You know what a pickpocket is? Just like the other day, a devotee was on Harinam here and she had her mobile phone stolen. So Krishna has 10, imagine someone with 10 arms. And he, you know, oh my God, how are you going to protect what you have? And if Krishna wants to give you something, he has 10 arms and you can't keep him from giving you those things. So Prabhupada was given like thousands of, Prabhupada called them boys and girls, spiritual sons and daughters who were ready to die for him. And you see, but Krishna took everything away. Everything was taken away from Prabhupada. And he was left penniless, basically. And his friends and family, the rest of this verse is Shahamanagrinami Harishay Tedanamshai, that it says, your friends and relatives will reject you. I'm not trying to scare anybody. It's not going to happen to any of you. Just shanti, shanti, shanti. But relatives, friends and relatives rejecting. Oh my God. And Prabhupada, in his Vrindavan Bhajan, Prabhupada was saying something like, I have my family, but they're fruitless glory. When Prabhupada was resigned, before Prabhupada went to the Western world. So, anyway, so this is Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was a pure devotee. He had no material attachments, but Krishna does this sometimes, carrying out his mission. Yashaham anagrinami rishye tadanamshana. Anyway, so, but in the case of the demigods, who are materially attached like Indra, Krishna does it to smash their false pride. Prabhupada never had false pride. Okay. On that happy note, any questions or comments? We got 2 more minutes. Yes.
What prosperity did Maharaj and Yashoda might do to get Krishna to watch his pastimes?
They're eternally liberated souls. Now, there's stories of, demigods who performed sacrifices and everything. But actually, those demigods are expansions of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mahi in the spiritual world. They're eternally Krishna's mother and father. They didn't have to do anything. But their expansions did. Drona and Gaya, they had to do so. They had to perform austerities. So when you hear about the demigods or something coming down to be Krishna's mother or father, they're just the expansions. Those demigods are the expansions. And the mother and father of Krishna that are there in Goloka Vrindavan, they're actually, in this world, when they're actually from the spiritual world, expansions from the spiritual world. So anyway, it's like saying, what did Radharani have to do to become Krishna's favorite? She didn't have to do anything. And the principal gopis don't have to do it. They're eternal. They're sakis. So you cannot become the father or mother of Krishna, but you can serve Krishna in that mood by assisting Yashoda Maya Nanda Maharaj. And if you really want to become the mother of Krishna, then Yashoda Maya will sometimes let you hold a little baby Krishna. But you're not going to become Yashoda Maya. But she'll say to you, okay, can you hold my baby for a few minutes? And you can hold Krishna for a few minutes. That'd be nice, isn't it? Holding Krishna. Rockabye Krishna. I wouldn't mind that. All right. Any other questions or comments? We got half a minute left. And the conch shell is ready to blow. All right, and so tomorrow we have there'll be more devotees here. I'm not giving Bhagavatam class tomorrow. I'll be doing them midday. We have a lot of things happening in the midday. Big party. This looks like a marriage mandap, doesn't it? When I came here in the morning, I just was thinking, who's getting married? But I guess that's what they're doing for the Vyas Puja, right? Yeah. Anyway, so we'll have a party. As they say, let's party. So, all right. On that happy note, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.